Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Heidi Baker. I had a chance to see Joe Miller went out and he went and ministered with, I can't tell you who that is right now, with
David?
Yeah, David.
Wagner.
David Wagner. And I got a chance to see Heidi, you know, and Heidi is, maybe you can see a picture of her right now. I don't know. Maybe it's coming up, but Heidi is just this amazing woman who just loves Jesus and loves people. And she wanted to do what God wanted her to do. And she had no holds barred. She just went out and just said, you know, I'm going to just do this thing. And this is what God says to do. And we can learn so much from Heidi, you know, a woman of the dirt.
Yes.
A woman of the dirt. And so this picture is of her when she was with David Wagner. Joe Miller was there. And it's amazing. Here she is just raising her hands, and she's ministering to these kids. I think it's in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you probably can see it. You can't see it. But anyway, so it's just amazing when I think about, because we've been talking about hunger.
Right.
And, you know, what is hunger? What is that? And the thing is, it's like hunger, based on my experience, you know, produces a desire just for so much of God. You just want more of Him. So this insatiable appetite, not for stuff and things and money and recognition and all those things that the earthly things does. Mm-hmm. It's just you want more of God.
Right.
And having more of God has a compassion, makes a compassion in your heart to want others to have more of God. You got to know Him. Yeah. You have to know this Jesus. And that just a combo thing happens in the context of that. And then your life is consumed with just living your life out in gratitude for Him and hunger for God. When I think about, you know, a friend of ours that said, you know, I was in America and I just wanted somebody that I could love. I wanted to go somewhere where people wanted God. I could love them in the name of God and they would respond to the gospel and the love of God.
I felt that before.
Yes. Well, this reminds me, you know, we're listening to, you know, Steve, I'm sure you talked about it on the program just recently, but when a Christian, you know, Christian, a young man, goes out and he's been talking to a lot of Americans that were hungry. Mm-hmm. And so after a while, you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you start talking to folks about this one that you love, you know, you can really do damage to your own hunger if you continue to feed somebody who says, I don't want it. Jesus just moved on.
Right.
But some people just repetitively go, it's like, what? I just want people to move in my condo area. You know, I want them to move. I want to see God move within my gated community, you know, where the limos are nice and it's like if they can, you know, if you have a limo, you know,
Pat,
a hillbilly limo and it was a truck and, he can move there. But the reality is people that feel they have any needs very seldom look for answers.
Right.
But they look for a psychiatrist because they can't figure out why. I got all my needs met, but I'm still not happy.
Still miserable. Yeah.
And so now they have money, so they go pay for somebody else that has all these issues. And just so they can talk to somebody, because you ain't got no friends, you know, in the context of that, because, you know, that Jones's stuff is going on, you know, and keeping up with the Smiths. But the whole thing is like, just think about this. Okay, you tried to feed the children in your neighborhood, and they said they're not hungry. Mm-hmm. So then you go and look around, okay, the neighborhood next to my neighborhood, I'm going to feed those children. Mm-hmm. And they look at you like you're crazy, like, I got all the food I want in my mom's pantry. I'm not hungry. Mm-hmm. I got money coming in. I got the support check coming in. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things coming. I got all kinds of SNAP stuff, you know what I'm saying? So then it's like, okay, then you go to another one. Okay, nobody in that state, no child in that state is hungry, wouldn't be true. But then you say, well, I'm going to go to another state. And this is what Heidi Baker did. She says, I'm going to go to another continent. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go where people are hungry. And I'm telling you, the Lord is my witness. I'm in America because God's called me to America. But just like Christian was so pumped and excited, when he found somebody who was hungry for God. I mean, there's a lot of people hungry for religion and the next service and the next music thing and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, but I'm talking about hungry for him, his presence, him just him. Well, if you've never experienced the presence of God, tangible presence of God, which I'm experiencing right now, I'm talking to you, you can just sit there and just be enveloped by his presence. You're designed for his presence. Mm. And religion can't match that. You know, all your words can't match that. I don't care how many songs you sing, it can't match that. I don't care how people respond to your songs. Does God respond to your songs? Does worship go up to God, or does worship go to you? And so the issue is, there's not much hunger in America at this moment, but there's nothing like a little disturbance.
Hmm.
There's nothing like a little wind blowing over your shed.
Hey.
An economy saying, you know, we got everybody cardboard boxes, you know, for free. Just put your stuff in it and head out the front door.
Hmm.
Don't worry about looking back. Here is, I know, Bob, the security guard, he's just going to help you to the front door in case you have any retribution happening in your arm.
Here's a Sharpie for your arm.
Right.
Write your social security number. And
that's what happened in Louisiana. In Mississippi, Gulfport. And then, or you look at how nobody's really looking to Washington, D.C. for any answers. They quit looking there. So all of a sudden, now where are you going to look? The thing is, people begin to look for God.
Mm-hmm.
So look up. And God is preparing a nation for sudden hunger, just sudden hunger. This is a big question, though. Do you have anything to feed them? Do you have anything? Do you know, is there anything in you? I mean, are you just living off the crumbs that you get on a Sunday for 45 minutes?
Mm-mm-mm.
And you know, half of that's announcement. The other half's a song, first, second, and third stanza. You know what I'm saying? And then you got 15 minutes of word, which is not going to carry you the whole week. You need to know God.
Yeah.
And are you going to have anything to feed them? I'm not talking about natural food. Do you know him? Does he know you? Are you known in hell, as Steve Hill used to say? Is your name known in hell? And so you think about it, like, my goodness, they're going to be hungry. So hunger is going to happen. And that's why I'm contented with what God's called me to Americans. You know, I'm reaching Americans. And we're reaching the world too, but predominantly, Lord says specifically the nations and with America. Because America, through what God has done and how he's blessed America, that when we repent, we can send light into every nation.
That's right.
We can train up and launch out all types of help, you know, in the world. And we can come back to the city on the hill again when the church gets to its place it needs to be. And God's beginning to speak about, as we talked about earlier programs, about redigging the wells. And what happens when a well's redug, all of a sudden there is something there. There is an experience in God. There is fresh word and fresh, you know, rhema from the Lord. And when hunger happens, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And Heidi Baker, this is what our other friend had said and what Heidi had done. She just went to Mozambique. And you know what? Then the kids are responding. You know what? When you respond to God, God responds to you. When you draw near to God, he draws near to you. There is no magic combination. There is no secret words, secret handshakes, or some sort of something you join. You just have to actually hear the word of God, the message of the Lord, the word, not a man's word, but God's word, and then believe. And God responds. He confirms his word with his presence, his power. This is what he says. That's what Mark chapter 16 talks about. You go out, go to everybody, tell them about me and about my word, and I will confirm my word when you tell them. And all of a sudden, you start seeing, you know, she's got like 3,000 schools, 3,000 students. I mean, in her schools,
wow.
One of the most effective schools she's known for in Mozambique, and she's training and launching ministers, has churches, Irish ministries, I believe
Irish
it is. And it's just, what does she do? She went where there's hunger. And I want to encourage you today. Begin to pray, dear Lord, forgive me for trying to get people to move within my gated community. Mm-hmm. Forgive me for judging the other side of the tracks when I actually should have been on the other side of the tracks and be in where there's hunger and where there's need. The thing is that there are hungry people. You just have to go where they are.
Yeah.
You can't convince somebody who says, I'm full of the world and I don't want any of God
to eat
the things of the Lord. But there's somebody out there right now, probably within a mile of your place, maybe within a half a mile, maybe a couple blocks, maybe at the local grocery store, maybe in the next. It's worth going. Let me tell you something. Going where God is moving. Maybe God's calling you. If I had a family that I was not connected to a believing gathering of a church body that wasn't moving in what I'm talking about, I would go find it. And I put my mm-hmm. whole family under that, and I would stay there, and that's where I would be fed, and that's where I would hear from the Lord, and that's where I'd function in the context of that. You know what I'm saying?
That's what happened to Heidi Baker, actually. It's part of her testimony. She was burnt out. Her and her husband both, they were just, you know, giving it all. And they got touched in the Toronto outpouring. They brought their family in. They said, we need God. We need to sit under some teaching, sit under the anointing. And God touched their man. I mean, just melted her.
Right.
And everything changed in her life. Everything. Wow. And so what you're saying is absolutely perfect. You need to get under teaching, get under the anointing, get under the place where that God has for you. And he has a place for you. You just got to get there.
We're talking about hunger and just begin to pray. Ask God, you know, make me hungry. Not for the things in this world. You know, not for another religious service. Mm. Because you think about this, that the church is reaching the church. Like, let's get another church thing going on. So you have the people who were singing in one place come together and sing in another place. And it's like, that's cool. I mean, we need to be encouraged. I mean, come on. But at some point, aren't we supposed to go out? And it's like, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, because they were wondering, you know, don't you understand that this is not God's people here? And obviously, Jesus,
right?
You've got this wrong because we're over here. Don't you come over here, Jesus. And Jesus is going, no. Come out here. And then they're going, no, you must not be of God. Matter of fact, you're Satan. They're calling you.
Right.
Because he wasn't inside what they were doing, because they were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they couldn't understand is why was he with these people who did not acknowledge God yet? Why was he with the lost? And he's going, he finally looks at him and says, listen, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come for the well. I came for the sick. In other words, and it's like, and granted, you know, there is sickness in the church. Mm-hmm. I know we need healing. Right. We have stuff. But I think it's because of turning in on ourselves and thinking too much. Come on, if you just think about yourself all the time, it's going to get bad. It's going to get dark. Right? Isn't that right?
So I hear.
But if you just trust God, you're always on his mind, and you get rightly related, you need to be in a body. Don't be all by yourself because, you know, Satan's going to devour you by yourself. But the people that can look over you as you're trusting God, then it's amazing how these things just go away and God just handles them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to go out and reach the lost and to encourage. And so when I get encouraged as a church, it makes me, yes, I want to fellowship with the church, and I'm known by my love. We're known by our love for each other. Of course. But it's not just to just love on each other. It's for us to be that love, to be a witness to the lost. He says that's the greatest measure of identity in him is our love for each other. Love is patient, kind, long-suffering, keeps no records of wrong. Well, by the way, it doesn't plot evil against itself.
Right.
And so, just a little note. And in the context of that is that he says that they will know you're my disciples by the love that you have for each other. And then he even says this in John 17:23. That's the book of John, chapter 17, verse 23, for those that are listening. He says, you know, you're coming together. I'm talking about not a pancake unity here. I'm not talking about a hoodoo meeting.
Right?
I'm not talking about you know, some sort of concert thing, which are cool. Concerts are cool. But I'm talking about unified around Christ and his teachings and his directions. And this is how you know when you're unified around Christ, because you're getting your orders from the King and you're about to walk them out. But if all you're doing is coming together and having coffee and nothing, you're not expecting anything outside of that. You're just enjoying the fellowship, but you're not following the King because he says, go.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, your unity like that, Christ-centered unity, being one in him as the Father is one. And look how Jesus is one with the Father. That's a good comparison. Because he said, just like me and the Father are one when we're one in him. So that's the measuring stick. Which Jesus did nothing and said nothing unless the Father said it or did it, which is a deep walk of obedience in God. He said that the world, people who don't even know him, think about this, John, people who don't even know him, supernaturally, by seeing you do that, they're going to go, you know what? God, Father God, God, the creator of the universe, loves me as much as he loves his son. Think about it. And why? That's why the enemy fights against it so hard. That's why people try to redefine it. But it's really easy. I mean, you see Heidi, you know, Heidi Baker with Iris Ministries, as we were talking about earlier. I mean, you're drawn to Heidi because she's drawn to God. She's loving all these children and loving all these pastors. And you just see this one pastor, this picture you'll see on the torch that Joe Miller took when he was there ministering with
David Wagner.
And which, by the way, Joe, your Facebook, but this boy's traveling the world. I'm like, he's like in Ireland. He's over with Mozambique. And I'm like, I think he just prays for 40 days and then he's just like, and around the world in 80 days or something after that. Or I don't know. I'm like, anyway, so it's like, hello, take us with you. Anyway, the, and another thing, your wife is so beautiful. What happened? No,
he married up.
Yeah, you married up, didn't he? Nothing personal, but you know. Anyway, hey. So yeah, she's a very beautiful, beautiful woman. And they actually lead 40 days for prayer together.
That's awesome.
In the Pensacola area. That's awesome. And a businessman and believer. The but it's just the love of Heidi. You just have this love for Heidi because Heidi loves God.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out, and you hear Heidi, you know, is talking, and she's like, she hits the ground and goes, yeah, people, they come, and they come with me and my husband and said, God has called me. Call me out here to minister to the orphan child and all this kind of stuff, you know. And then they're there for like 6 weeks maybe, and they come into their office and says, the Lord has given me a new word. And the thing was, they were drawn to her relationship with God. They were drawn. They actually saw what God and her and God were doing and the body was doing there.
Mm-hmm.
But when they got there, they didn't join what God was doing. They didn't fall in love with the one that she was in love with. And so the price became so heavy because it's a huge price because the world just doesn't just go, oh, this is so cool. I am just so glad, you know, that you're totally defeating my kingdom and you're taking souls out of the kingdom and you're feeding folks that I was trying to starve to death and die outside of them knowing Jesus Christ. I mean, it doesn't happen. And there's not a lot of air conditioner in Mozambique. And so they get there and what happens is you can be drawn. And this is a big thing too. I mean, when God's anointed you, people just get drawn to you and you have to realize they're drawn to God with you. They're not drawn to you. And a lot of people use the anointing and draw people to themselves with this music or teaching or preaching or whatever it might be. But but understand. And so they're drawn to this love she has for God. But when they get out there, they don't love God like she loves God.
Right.
Because she gave it all. She fell in love with God. Like you're talking about the Toronto, which is, you know, anyway. So and it's like, that's what we want. We want that so much. We're so hungry for him that we'll give it all.
Mm-hmm.
We're not measuring out things like, okay, here's one for God and one for me. It's just like, how much more can I give to him? Mm-hmm. And for us in America, those that are listening and watching in America, that I want to just encourage you that don't just go, well, they're just not hungry. Nothing's going to happen. Realize that God can begin to move and things are going to begin to happen. And it makes me think about what, John, you were telling me about what Franklin Graham is saying right now in this last minute that we have. Tell us what's happening there with hunger.
Well, what's happening right now, you know, when in Crimea, in Ukraine, that the Russians came in and took that area over. Well,
It's a tragic.
Horrible, yes. Horrible. But out of great tragedy, there's so much hunger going on right now that the ministries and the churches in Ukraine are giving out 5,000 New Testament Bibles every day. In fact, Franklin Graham saying, help us to get Bibles there, but they're reaching out to the
people. Through Samaritan's Purse?
I believe so. Actually, it's through Billy Graham's ministry. Okay. We'll make all that related. But listen, God's moving.
Yes.
You want to move on behalf of hunger. You want to support hunger, fanning the flame.
Talking about hunger, I mean, we're going to continue, as a matter of fact, in this program, talking more about hunger because, you know, getting hungry for God and what does that really mean and what's the ramifications. And we talked about Heidi Baker and Irish Ministries and how she was touched and what she's doing in response to that and how her love draws people to that love affair, because he says, you know, you'll know that they'll know that you're mine by your love for each other, but also they'll know that you're mine and that I love them because of your unified work for me, love for me. And the thing is that we're finding out that sometimes, you know, people are drawn to other people's relationship with God, but they don't have one. Mm-hmm. You can catch that in our earlier program. We're going to continue this conversation about hunger because, you know, you get the four blood moons coming up. You have bison running from Yellowstone. We have economic just major difficulties, you know, happening, and really nobody's really talking about it.
Mm-mm.
And it doesn't go away if you bury your head in the sand of denial. It just doesn't go
away.
Imagine
that.
Yeah, but if you bury your head in the sand of denial, please don't have an opinion when you pull it out. You know, right?
Right.
Yeah, right? It's just like, well, I think you still have sand right here. I mean,
exactly.
You know, I mean, it's not, and it's about, you know, God lets us know there's nothing that should catch us by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
As followers of the Lord, God is not a God. He is the God. There is no other God
That's before him.
His son's name is Jesus Christ, and his spirit is here on the earth. And understand this, that he is aware of all things. Not even a sparrow falls from the sky outside of his permission. And not only does he know how many hairs you have on your head, but each of those hairs have a number. And so don't think this God that you have a relationship is not going to let you know what's up.
That's right.
And you can't shut it down because the news tells you something different in your eyes than God's already told you in your heart. Just say, this is what God is saying. This is what's going on. And understand that he has good plans in store for those that are his.
Mm-hmm.
Plans to bless you and prosper you and restore the years the locusts have devoured. But he wants everyone to know him. He wants his church, who has put some of it has gone astray, to turn back to him. You know, those that are called by his name. And then he wants the lost to be won.
And for
whatever reason the Lord has chosen us, he's chosen the foolishness of what is preached to use people who are not,
mm-hmm.
who are weak and are flawed and are clay. And he puts his all-surpassing power in us to go tell people how awesome he is. So we have God uses broken people. Think about this. Broken people. To go tell broken people about a whole God.
That's right.
Think about that.
Wow.
That chose, because he loves you, to be broken on a cross. We're broken because of our sin. He was actually nailed to the cross by choice. So often people just say, you know, I'm not worthy enough to tell anybody about you. What an evil. Is that not evil? I mean, think about that. The evilest lie you could probably ever believe is like, who am I to tell somebody about Jesus?
Right.
I mean, does the devil not win in that?
Mm-hmm.
He's condemned you and made you feel horrific, and now you feel unworthy to tell somebody about who's holding the universe together and who's actually made you a son or a daughter in the kingdom of God.
That's it.
That's the enemy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The best way to defeat the enemy is let people know. Just tell them about Jesus. And somebody says, well, look at my flaws. You're a clay vessel.
Mm.
God does that to show us. This is what they'll do. They'll go, Lord, the fact that you saved that man knows that I could be saved. Right?
That's
Isn't that
right.
true?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you're thinking that's the opposite. You're thinking they're not going to be saved because they see how flawed you are. And the truth is, they will see God in you, and they'll be able to go, man, there's hope for me. That's what Paul said.
Yeah.
Paul said, this, the reason why God saved me, because I was the chiefest of sinners, to prove that how merciful he is.
Mm.
Is that not something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. So really, the more broken you are, probably the greater witness you'll be.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Yeah. And so you think about.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
I remember somebody coming to the Lord because they said, man, if God did this in Pat's life.
Yeah.
And they came on in, man.
That's right.
He drew them in with great hunger.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
I knew the BC. It was amazing. It was
wow.
Something.
Second Street.
Selah. Okay, the no on Second Street. Oh. Although I do see the trenches and the scars if you go down and visit the museum down there.
The mausoleum.
The mausoleum. The mausoleum. That was the store clerk. Anyway, they but think about it. So hunger and think about this too, that just there are some people that when Jesus passed by, they ran after him. They wanted more of him. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that didn't even give him the time of day. They didn't, it's like, oh well, you know, we got this program going on now. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that ran after him. And some people ran after him, wanted the physical provision that he could offer. The physical provision that he could offer. But in regards to that he could offer eternal life, that's something they weren't interested in. Because what he said after healing a multitude of people, and I think it's John chapter 6, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And then people just started leaving.
Amazing. They were seeking Jesus' hand and ignoring his face.
Right. And so the question is who are you seeking? What are you seeking? And I'm talking about getting hungry for God, not hungry. There's so many folks. I mean, they're wanting a church growth program. They want a bigger budget. They want to do more stuff and things, but they don't necessarily want God. I mean, they're not thinking mm-hmm. like they just somebody's convinced you that that's God. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is actually some church growth programs. If you'll get everybody in debt, they will go out and win giving units. Ooh, they'll win wow. people that'll come in to this building.
Wow.
And they will give. And this will, because the debt's so heavy on the people. I'm paraphrasing wow. this part. The debt's so heavy on the ones now that took this huge mortgage out. They'll actually go to the streets and knock on somebody's door because they're thinking when they're knocking on that person's door that this person's going to help us pay off the debt.
Wow.
Wow.
And the truth is, we win people to the one who paid our sin debt. It has nothing to do with financial debt. Mm. And if we think about it, and if it took slavery, because those are in debt or slave to the lender, right? Mm-hmm. And you're winning people to be able to serve this master, this lender. How evil! I mean, how wrong is that? And then you're wondering why they're all into the next growth program in regards to building wings on all that kind of stuff. It's like that's how I was won. You know, we just need. And the thing is, like, versus this. Falling in love with God. Mm. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's real. He's present. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He knows everything at all times at the very same moment. He chose the very seasons that you would live, the place that you would live, the address that you would live for one reason, to see if you would get hungry for him, that you would reach out for him and touch him, though he's not far from you. And so that's the whole thing. It's like you have I don't know how long your life is, and I don't know how long mine is. But the question is, what are you doing with the life that you have? And it's amazing when you begin to go after him, what you used to think was so long, 365 days, becomes a minute. It's like you blink and a decade's gone.
It's gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just, if you don't grab a hold of this vapor, this time, because you're so in love with him, you're thinking, think about this. This is the only time you have in all eternity to do anything for him in the context of in this present state under bringing him glory through his son, Jesus Christ, in gratitude by choice in regards to saying, you know what? I'm going to give all my life to him. This is it. Because when you get to a place where there's no sin and no temptations, and I mean, it's not the same paradigm. I mean, I'm looking forward to that. But this is my only opportunity. This is your only opportunity to say, you know what? I'm going to give more of my paycheck to God. You know, I'm going to sow financially into Iris Ministries, you know, and in Mozambique. I'm going to partner with VFN Radio and VFN TV. I'm going to do something. I'm going to go out and physically tell somebody. I'm going to spend the rest of my life. And you'll find out when you get in this whole just, you know, I just love him so much. I want to, that really messes with a lot of religious folks because they're trying to figure out, you know, this is what somebody just once said to me. They said, you just do it. And it's like, right?
Is like, there another option?
If you just love him, right?
Yeah.
You just if you read it, you do it. I know Brother Ken, spiritual father, that's gone to be with the Lord now. Somebody said, "Well, how did you do it? What did you do? What did you do?" He says, "Well, I heard, and I obeyed. I heard.
That's it.
You know, I just think differently. I think like, isn't that what we all do? And then right. I begin to meet the church like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. I strategize, theorize,
rationalize,
and make sure that I don't lose anything in this plan. And then I go forward. And that's not faith. That's right. Actually just a man's plan, wisdom of the world. But think about this. What if and understand this, you know, this is what Jesus, John, this is what Jesus said. He says, my sheep know my voice. So if you don't, I mean, think about it. If you don't know his voice, because there's a day that you're going to hear the voice of the Son of Man, Son of God, and you're going to live, which means if you haven't heard his voice, if you don't, and understand he speaks, not like you're necessarily speaking. Sometimes he does, but just, you know that you know in the context of that. And then he says, and not only did they hear my voice, they just don't hear me like a teenager would hear a parent and say, okay, I got you, and just do their own thing, for example, some teenager. But they hear his voice and they follow him. And they follow none other. You know, some people say, well, how come you're not with me anymore? And the person may say, it's like, well, you're not following Jesus. I mean, you were following Jesus.
That's right.
And we would still be together, following the same Lord, if you didn't take that turn. Think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you start bumping into people who abide and hear the Lord's voice, and let me tell you something, if you have not yet begun to abide with him, he wants to abide with you. He wants you to spend time and begin to learn his voice. We have a plan for you at iabide.org. Know this, that hearing his voice and following him is the greatest reward ever. And you have this a limited amount of time while you're here on earth to be able to do this. We're talking about hunger, getting hungry for God. And you hear us talk about, and we can't help but tell you what the Lord is making known to us. That was one of the driving realities of the birthing. I think about Nightline. When Nightline was birthed, it was birthed because there was hostages being held in Iran.
Wow.
And every day they would count day 12, day 100, day 200. And there was this burning reality that we had to blow this trumpet. You know, when you think about, you know, Ezekiel 12, and you think about Ezekiel 33, and he says you got to say, and that's blowing the trumpet. But understand this, God, it's not about God writing America off or writing you off or writing anybody off. It's about writing more people in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's wanting us to be saved. Right. And so he even says it in Hebrews chapter 12, consider hardship as discipline. That God is treating you as a son. And so hardship is not destructive judgment from God and just like, you know, doing away with you. But, you know, judges every day issue verdicts about getting things back in order again. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to do. And so you think about, so how could all this tragedy and trouble that's coming and is here now, and this is we're like in suspended animation. It's sort of like, it should have imploded earlier, but the grace of God has kept us, timing, or it was to me, I think this is what I often think is I think that the men who are used by darkness unaware as are shocked that mankind has not lost it yet.
Yeah.
That they don't have a clue, but they don't understand what they don't understand, how they're blinded, that men can be blinded too. And they don't have a clue either. These dark leaders don't know how they're being used by the enemy. They think they have a good plan. Their utopias and all, but the people that they're actually deceiving don't even know. They don't even know that they're just as blind, because the second their eyes are opened up, the second they hear the gospel and they make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, all of a sudden their eyes, their minds no longer blinded, and they just all of a sudden can see what's taking place. And so you think about, so tragedy, we've seen it with in the past, we might not have taken as advantage of the opportunity. We didn't seize the opportunity, the lifetime of that particular opportunity, but we were hit with like five hurricanes. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It was so severe that you were just trying to pick yourself up and to go again. But since then, we prepared in a better way to be more focused and to do that. But we did to adopt a family. We did all these different things to be able to help out. We partnered with CBN
and
Jody
Blessing.
Harrington, which is now, she's got a different last name now.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Spanish last name.
Is it?
Yeah. She married Humberto.
Oh, wow.
Memento.
Yeah. Yeah, that's anyway. So, hey, Jody. And so, so what happens, though, when hardship comes, when all of a sudden when people are thinking, you know, my job is the answer, my job is the answer, and it's like, I just got fired.
Hello.
So that wasn't the answer. And so they begin to look for the answer. Or everything's going perfect in their family. You love those guys that go, my family's just perfect. Perfect family. Family's perfect. Perfect family. Right. Family's perfect. Perfect family. And you're just like, right.
Really?
Yeah, it's just like, really? And of course, it's not true. Nobody right. has a perfect family, but projecting that over. Or maybe you're speaking faith. That's good. Speak faith over. But in regards to all of a sudden when your job's not perfect anymore, all of a sudden when your family's not perfect anymore, all of a sudden when your relationships aren't perfect anymore, all of a sudden when things start, your perception of what you thought was going to last forever lasted just for a week, and then you're turning to God. This is a time for us to understand that that's a moment that we can minister. And so I'm thinking about, and imagine standing on a mountain like Moses did, and the mountain's shaking and quaking, and you love God. You're not concerned about death. You're not concerned about, you know, God loves you. You're not concerned about your relationship with him. You're not walking around with unrepentant sin. And you're standing on this mountain that's shaking and quaking, and God's backing you up. Now the signs and wonders are taking place, and be ready to say, you know, don't fall to the ground and don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. And now it's time to preach like you never. I mean, I was just preaching at the Dream Center. I don't know if you remember. I was preaching at the Dream Center. And right in time, right in perfect timing, when I was delivering a specific word, I mean, the whole place rocked as God, you know, just thunder. Bam!
Exclamation point.
It was great, you know. And mm-hmm. don't stop at that point. Just realize he's and the Lord really showed me some time back about his voice, the church. You're going to, God speaks through this. He speaks through this. But I remember there was this in this vision, this dream, that all of a sudden in this normal day, this normal day, all of a sudden this thunder was so loud. I mean, it was just unbearably, terrifyingly loud that everybody ran for cover. And it was God speaking. Mm-hmm. It was God speaking. And this is where we have to learn to stand when mm-hmm. God's speaking, and we run for cover when you don't know him, when you don't have that intimate relationship and understand. Moses sat there and took notes when God was talking. Okay, right. Commandment one, commandment two. The second time around, God wrote it the first time. Second time, he's like, listen, I'm not going to write this. You're going to have to write this. And so I can see this quaking and shaking, and I can see that now in regards to, you know, Franklin Graham. He's in a nation that's being quaked and shaked. You know, he's in the Ukraine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he's in...
well, Billy Graham's ministry is there.
Billy Graham's ministry. And look what's happening now. Tell us about what's happening with the hunger.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, Franklin Graham, Billy Graham's son, sent out a letter through their ministry, Billy Graham Evangelical Association Ministry, and they're asking us to pray for Ukraine. And what happened, as we know, in just, you know, recent time here, Russia basically annexed Crimea.
Well, the president that they had at that time, bought him out, obviously.
Right.
And he bought into him coming in. Next thing you know, he opened this gateway for Russia to come in and start trying to brought their military in.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that in detail, because you think about it, how many Americans would throw their hands up to people in the church and say, this is terrible, versus like, this is a great opportunity, what
absolutely.
You're talking about.
Yeah.
And so they even took over. Go ahead.
They took over that land territory now, and so with great, you know, unrest, uncertainty, you know, the believers in that country is a small percentage. Right. It's a small percentage. Yet during that time of their country's chaos, they started going out into the streets. They're ministering. They're passing out 5,000 Bibles a day. Okay, they set up tents for counseling and for prayer. And they're ministering to the needs of the people, and the people are so hungry because of great times of uncertainty. They're looking at, you know, Russian people that are soldiers that come into their territory. Mm. And Franklin Graham is saying, listen, pray for them. You know, they have ministries there, and they were able to get in contact with the current president, the interim president. And he's asked for prayer. Pray for Ukraine, but there's a move of God that's stirring during this horrible time, you know, that's going on in their life. And so, listen, it's not always horrible. God's on a move.
And that's so it could be the best of times and the worst of times.
Absolutely.
So what do they say about this new leader, this interim leader?
This is what they're saying, and I want to get the direct quote here for you. It said, observers say, and I'm not going to pronounce his name, but the interim president was chosen because in a nation plagued by corruption and self-serving politicians, he stood out as a man of conviction and principle with a reputation for integrity. He is a man of godly character and a committed follower of Jesus Christ.
So think about this. A nation that was going to pot.
Wow.
Who had gold-plated, probably scrambled eggs in the morning, the leader did, just sucking all the resources away and being bought out by Russia, probably, that instantly God replaced him. God replaced this man, the previous president, by the people and with a man of godly character. They replaced corrupt politicians, people that were just thinking of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it, America. Wow. I mean, overnight... people lead in America by giving permission to be in an office, and it's a government by the people for the people. That all of a sudden, you know, men and women of godly character could be sitting in those offices, and immediately, and they could be trustworthy because they went from not trustworthy to trustworthy leader.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that powerful?
Awesome.
It's amazing. I was watching CBN News. And we don't have the footage, but I actually saw the footage of what you're talking about, where they're standing on the streets and they're going, "Man, we're walking right into those big riotous." And they're angry at what happened in the government, not against each other. And they're preaching the gospel in the midst of all of that.
Yeah.
And they're just left and right. And they're so excited because you're looking at different denominations. So you have different garb and all the things going on. It's like, man, it's time for us to work together. It reminds me of the Lighthouse Prophecy, you know, 700 ministers working together. So it can be. So then when somebody says, well, that's gloom and doom to talk about difficult times. If it wins souls, if it causes a nation to put godly leadership in place, are we going to complain about ungodly leadership? We're going to complain about lack of integrity and just worried about themselves and their money and their increase without being willing to say, God, whatever you got to do, turn America back to you. Turn America back to you, to your original intent for this nation. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty for all and justice for all. We ask this in Jesus' name. He said, this is what Franklin says. He says, please pray for peace in the Ukraine. Pray for peace. Realize also this president, this previous president's removed. He's repenting now and said he was wrong. And he's saying that Russia needs to get out. And that's just beautiful. Totally beautiful. Listen, God can change things in a moment's time.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if you're not or not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country in that order and Israel as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.